Welcome once again to the Dipshit Files. This is episode 95. I'm Mr. Scriptkeeper.
And I'm Mrs. Scriptkeeper.
And what the fuck are we doing today?
We're doing something weird.
Weird, like UFOs weird?
Well, a bit of, there's a bit of UFO, there's a bit of unexplained, potentially explained. There's some true crime, death.
What?
Secret societies, weird, what? Weird shit. So yeah, it's kind of all of the above.
Does this shit have a name?
Yeah, I'm calling this the Lead Masks of Vintem Hill.
Vintem Hill.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to open the file up on Weird Hills. Weird Hill Files. Let's do it.
So we've covered quite a bit of the weird and unexplained so far on this podcast.
Maybe.
But today we got a strange one requested by one of our listeners.
Yay.
Now this head-shaking story from Brazil began with the routine discovery of two dead men on a hillside, but soon spiraled out into a wild web of UFO sightings, secret societies, and weird, shady underground dealings.
So one big radon exposure.
It's not radon.
It might be.
All right, so let's get into this thing.
The Dipshit Files presents the Lead Masks of Vintem Hill.
On August 20th, 1966, an 18-year-old from Rio de Janeiro named Jorge da Costa Alves was heading out to fly his kite on Vintem Hill. Partway up, he was hit with a stench of decay coming from a patch of weeds further up the slope.
Dead cunts.
Looking carefully in the direction of the smell, Jorge spotted two bodies lying down in the dirt side by side, so he rushed down the hill to alert the police. It would be another 24 hours before the authorities could reach the corpses due to the rough terrain and wet weather.
Too weathery.
Once they got up there, a strange scene was observed.
Was it Wolfman?
The corpses were of two men in their 30s. Clothed in matching suits and raincoats.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the heads lay a pair of identical eye masks made of lead.
Moo.
The bodies had been lying out in the open for 3 days at this point, exposed to the hot, humid Brazilian weather, so you can probably imagine what kind of effect this had on the bodies.
Stink.
Enough that any superficial signs of physical violence would long since have disappeared. From what the coroner could determine later on, though, there was no sign that the men had been attacked. From their appearance, these two perfectly healthy young men just lay down and died for no apparent reason.
Sounds like Wolfman to me.
Weird, right?
Mm.
So the situation was already strange enough, and a search of their pockets turned up something rather some confusing evidence.
Silver bullets.
Their driver's licenses identified the unfortunate pair as 34-year-old Miguel Jose Viana and 32-year-old Manuel Pereira de Cruz. Forgive my accent and pronunciation throughout this episode.
We do not train to be merciful here.
They were TV and radio repairmen from Campos dos Goitas Circes, about 125 miles northeast of Rio. Both men were married with kids, and they were well-liked in their community. Now, at first glance, there was absolutely no reason anyone would want to harm them. As for why they were up on the hill in the first place, well, that was anyone's guess.
I bet it was stupid human shit.
Several of their belongings did offer a few cryptic clues, however.
Cryptid, like Wolfman?
Central to this mystery are the masks found with the bodies. These strange coverings seem to serve no practical purpose, but were similar to those sleep masks that get handed out on airplanes, but without the strap around the back.
No strap on? Fuck.
No strap on?
Rude.
Additionally, they appeared to be homemade and roughly cut from a thin sheet of pure lead. Now, if the men had been wearing these jagged-edge blindfolds when they died, then they wouldn't have been able to see a thing. The investigators pondered, had the masks been part of some gangland execution? Although, you'd think they'd just use a standard strip of cloth in that case rather than pure lead.
Now, why all the fucking drama and fucking production values? Let's make sure you get this from metal from a different country and
right.
Have it imported.
Right. Well, this led them to speculate that the pair were using these masks to protect their eyes from radiation.
Hmm.
Now, if this is the case, though, why not bother covering their entire body? you know.
Right.
Industrial workers who are exposed to radioactivity tend to use far bulkier gear, which covers the entire head with eye holes for sight.
At least cover the dick.
Well, these masks were actually the opposite. So the flimsy Vintem Hill masks probably weren't meant for blocking gamma rays. So what were they meant for then? Now, the next clue only made things even more confusing. A small notebook found in one of the men's suit jackets contained a series of strange numeric sequences written throughout the pages. Now, it was assumed that they represented a shopping list of electrical parts, which the men had set out to pick up for their TV and radio repair business. But speculation spread, and they were coded messages that tied to the local UFO sightings that had been going on for quite some time. There was one page, though, which simply defied explanation. The very last thing written in the notebook were the words, quote, 4:30 p.m., be at the determined place. 6:30 p.m., swallow capsules. After effect, protect metals, await signal mask.
One pill makes you bigger.
End quote.
And another pill makes you a tiny bitch.
Right? Well, now this really did offer something to follow up on. The men had apparently swallowed some mysterious capsules on the day of their death and perhaps arranged to meet someone on top of the hill. Now, the grammar in the last weird, the part of the weird itinerary was a bit off. So it was rewritten as swallow capsules.
With your butt.
After feeling the effects, protect half the face with lead masks and await the signal.
Also, think about your dick.
Sorry. So basically, swallow capsules, after effect, protect metals, await signal, and mask.
Dick.
Right. So... One source claims that according to some previous entries in the notebook, it seemed like Miguel and Manuel had also been dosing up these capsules after meals and before bedtime in the week leading up to the incident. And apparently, some police handwriting experts determined that the schedule was not written by either of the dead men. However, I have to admit that this case is extremely difficult to corroborate these statements and many other facts with more than one source. Now, just simply because, one, it's all in Spanish. And additionally, there really isn't a lot out there. It was in the 60s, and it was really hard to kind of find everything. So these mysterious capsules were surely the best lead detectives were likely to get, which makes it absolutely astounding. Astounding that they never even bothered following up on it. I mean, a toxicology examination was never run on the bodies.
Well, they weren't watching all these CSI shows and shit. They didn't know. They're like, what the fuck's this shit?
Well, reports...
One pill makes you smarter.
Well, reports from the time state that the coroner was just too busy to bother. Well, and I think it's really odd, too, when you think about it, that it was 24 hours before the investigators and the police even got to the bodies after they knew they were up there.
Fair enough.
Of course, there was terrain and weather and stuff, but... It was another day.
It's fucking raining. Do you want me to go up and get some dead bodies when it's raining, lady? Huh?
I don't know. It just seems odd.
Jeez.
Two dead bodies on a hill? Nah, nothing strange here.
It's raining?
We should go out and get those dead bodies from the hill.
What are you on, crack cocaine? It's raining.
Right, but they're dead bodies and it's just rain.
It's gonna be muddy and I don't have the correct footwear.
Go home and get your boots.
It's raining.
I know that, motherfucker. What, your car doesn't work in the rain?
There's also bats outside. I don't like bats.
Fuck.
Without any clear evidence of foul play, the police left it at that, and whatever substances that Miguel and Manuel took that day, or were forced to take, were never discovered. Some reports from the following years suggest that the bodies were later exhumed for testing. However, at the point the internal organs had all but decayed entirely. So it wouldn't have helped anyways.
Icky mess.
So searching the scene, of course, caused some questions. Actually, more questions than it answered. Now, why were the men popping pills?
Why do we do anything?
And who were they meeting?
Xenu.
And what was this agreed signal? You know,
well, because they were told to take the pills and they were meeting a Cheshire cat.
After they searched the scene, the investigators began to build a picture of the final hours of Miguel and Manuel. Now, to start, they interviewed both of the men's families over in the city of Campos. And this is the timeline they were able to uncover. At 9 a.m. on Wednesday, August 17th, They had told their wives they were heading down south to pick up some electrical components. Some reports also mentioned their intent to buy a used car. Now, they took around 3 million Brazilian cruzeiros along with them. 3
million bajillion?
along with them, which equates to about $1,300. Huh. They only had about $65 left between them when they were found. Miguel and Manuel then arrived at the town of Niterói at 2 p.m. Stepping off the bus and into the rain, the first stop was a clothing store near the bus station where they bought matching raincoats. Now, this might also be where they got the pair of towels, which were later found soaked in a bag near their bodies. Some reports state that they then went to an electronics store before heading onward to a bar in central Rio de Janeiro across the Guanabara Bay.
Shout out to Radio Shack.
There, they bought the glass bottle of water later found next to them. Detectives were able to retrace their steps using the receipt from Miguel's pocket, which could have later been used to reclaim a deposit for the bottle. Now, this suggests that they probably planned on coming back down the hill at some point, or maybe he just absentmindedly stuffed it in his pocket and it meant nothing. Most of the time, refunds for recycling fall by the wayside in most people's everyday travel, so this may have meant nothing in the grand scheme of this incident. However, the investigators didn't have much to go on at this point, so they held on to it.
This was the first Wolfman attack, so they didn't know.
Additionally, it appeared as if they were in a hurry to get up the hill.
Because Wolfman. Wolfman believed you. Wolfman doesn't
care. Wolfman doesn't love inside no more. The waitress who sold them water mentioned that they seemed agitated. Miguel kept compulsively checking his watch over and over as if they were worried about missing something important.
It's full moon tonight.
At 3:15 p.m., the two electronic technicians started their ascent. One report mentions them hitching a ride from two anonymous men in a truck. Whether this is true or not, we don't know. We do know they made it to their location shortly after. The young man who would later find their bodies was a frequent visitor to the spot, and some reports claim that he spotted the two men sitting on the hillside at around 5 p.m. that day.
Jerking each other off.
He then allegedly returned to the site the day after to find them still lying there. Assuming they were asleep, he'd left them alone before finally figuring it out when he returned that weekend. Now, this part of the story was confusing, so this guy saw two men chilling on a hill, and when he came back the next day, they're still there chilling on the hill in the same spot.
Nothing of it. Nothing of it.
So they were just out there all night, and now they're lying down. No tent, no campfire. I mean, the witness wasn't very inquisitive as far as I'm concerned. So
that's the way to put it.
Why were they there? Now, it doesn't appear that we're short on information about the circumstances of that day. Some pieces are more reliable than others, yet none of it brings us any closer to understanding why Miguel and Manuel were on Vintem Hill. It seems neither of them were completely open with their families and had some other objective beyond just picking up supplies. I mean, if they're just picking up supplies, what the hell were they doing with these lead masks on a hill? It's just fucking weird. Where the investigation stopped, some pretty wild theorizing began right at this point. Some speculated that Miguel and Manuel had arranged a secret meeting on the hill, maybe to pick up some illicit goods. Depending on who you ask, and this includes even some senior investigators on the case, this could be anything from smuggled foreign electrical parts to radioactive material. It seems some electrical parts were rare in Brazil at the time, leading to a thriving smuggling trade. And the two men were dedicated hobbyists known for making their own DIY machines. This might explain how they ended up dead. They had been robbed by the dealer. But what was all this about taking capsules, and why cover their eyes with those masks?
Right.
It's all just a bit weird. If it was a simple robbery, there wouldn't be all this extra strangeness around it.
People are very dumb.
Well, you know, additionally, if they had been trying to secure some radioactive material to improve upon their little engineering experiments or even selling it to criminals in Rio, then surely they would have brought some better protection, right?
Guns.
Well, this angle was ruled out when the tests of their hair follicles revealed that neither of the men were exposed to abnormal radiation at any point. Now, I found that interesting, too. They didn't do a toxicology examination. There was never a record of one. Yet, they tested their hair follicles. Very weird.
At least they did protect their dicks, obviously.
Well, at least their eyes. They protected their eyes.
Well, unless they took a, they had, must have had some other suit on or something that was removed, and the eye thing was harder. I don't know.
Right?
I got nothing.
Well, so this brings us to the end of the sane, rational portion of this episode.
Dicks!
It's all down the rabbit hole from here. The detectives on the case had already started dipping their toes into wild conspiracy theory.
Nice.
But now they're about to get pushed right into the deep end. That's because the more information they gathered on the two men and their acquaintances, the more it became clear that they were into some really strange shit. So grab your coffee and a snack because it's going to get fucking weird.
I got coffee.
Coffee!
It turned out that Miguel and Manuel probably did plan to meet someone that evening, just not someone of this world. In 1966, the year after the two men turned up dead on the hillside, one of their friends was arrested by the police due to inconsistencies in his statements. This was commercial pilot Elcio Gomez. He had allegedly been Manuel's assistant during some homemade science projects. And his widow recalled that the two had a major falling out on the days leading up to the deaths. This made Gomez one of the more likely suspects, but he was ruled out when he provided an alibi. He and a group of friends were in a town 4 hours away. However, the other information he provided during the second interrogation would end up sending this case in a wilder direction than anyone could have ever imagined.
Finally, we get to the Wolfman. Jesus Christ.
Gomez revealed that he and the two dead men were part of a secret society, along with hundreds, potentially thousands, of other electrical enthusiasts in the area. It was an electrical enthusiast secret society.
The Radio Shack Network. Fucking the Radio Shack Guild.
Right. Well, all of them were self-proclaimed scientific spiritualists coming together to achieve a common goal. Do you know what that common goal is?
Satan.
Establishing contact with alien beings on Mars.
Okay. It's fucking something to do, I guess, on a weekend.
Right. Well, this is in the 60s, right? Yeah. And we already knew there was no life on Mars in the 60s.
Well, they could fucking, they didn't believe that shit.
Right. Well,
there's people that think the world is very, very flat.
Well, that's, you know, funny you bring that up because we're going to discuss that in the bonus. Ooh. After this episode.
Nice.
Anywho, these tech-loving UFO hunters didn't stop at telescopes and radio broadcasts.
They also did dork orgies.
They also regularly attended seances to contact the spirit realm.
Told you.
In the realm?
Believing they could encourage higher beings from beyond the veil of reality into revealing themselves. And as you probably have already guessed, they were really, really into drugs.
Very serious about themselves too, it sounds like.
Yep.
Like, what would be, like, I'm going to bring this demon thing that's fucking ancient and smart, and I'm going to outsmart it, I bet.
Right.
I'm going to get it to do shit
for
me.
I'm going to trap it. I'm going to trap it in this thing.
Makes sense.
Thing.
Back to the thing about the drugs. Definitely the drugs.
Okay. So before we go any further into the wild world of Brazilian UFO cults, I want to clarify. Much of the information surrounding this case is steeped in conspiracy theories and tabloid misinformation. In fact, it's so bad that a publication entitled The Flying Saucer Review is actually the most reliable contemporary source. Right. So I also found several articles on the case throughout the late 1960s on Yahoo, which actually share a bit of skepticism, which is good. Now, these articles mostly draw evidence from various local news reports, which shows they themselves were still enthralled in the hysteria at the time.
We got a great article from the Nick at Night Review.
I know.
Not as good. Journalists were also watching Mr. Ed.
This is a great story, Ted.
Yeah, thanks.
Why, in my 20 years here, I've never seen quite a story.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's right for this publication.
Ted, this story is going to set the world on fire.
Yeah, it's a doozy.
I'm going to make it our lead story.
Again, I'm not sure it makes sense for your publication.
Well, there's not normally UFO stuff in Cat Fancy.
Probably not.
But the crossover between owning cats and believing weird shit is pretty high, I would say.
I think I might take the story to a different magazine.
We have a magazine about horses.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
See, at this point, Brazil was in the grip of its very own UFO fever. Reports of sightings were extremely common, even from officers in the armed forces and other reputable sources. Shortly after the two technicians were found dead, one such report was filed for that evening on Vintem Hill. A woman named Gracinda Barbosa Cotino de Souza went to the police and told them that she had spotted a strange object floating above the hill when driving her children home that night.
Was she on drugs?
Maybe. Hmm. Maybe it's just in the air there. Hmm. It's in the water. It appeared to be an orange-colored oval with a bright, fiery ring around its edges.
Tight.
A strange spectral light was hanging over the top of the hill. However, by the time her husband actually returned to check it out, it was gone.
Oh.
Now, once this news broke, several other residents came forward to claim that they had also seen this same phenomenon. One report added that leading up to the unfortunate day, Miguel had told his sister he had an important mission coming up, but it was top secret. Was it supposed to be a direct rendezvous with the creatures in the orange ship, maybe? I don't know.
Fucking, it was a whole E.T. scenario. He had an alien in his house.
Right.
There's Wolfman on the loose, too. There's a whole lot of scenarios to this. And, you know, they were trying to save him, trying to get him back to go home.
Well,
trying to get him back to his parents.
For the record, I struggled with this part of the story. With so little to go on, complete speculation on the part of witnesses and some investigators, as well as the credulity of the locals, I was getting lost in the weeds. And if you're like me, you are too. But just hang in there.
Because
it all comes together. Okay. The most likely scenario here is that the two men were tasked with doing some experiments up on the hill, which produced the light spotted by Mrs. De Souza. Miguel and Manuel were no strangers to blowing shit up in their quest for alien contact. Yes, this is also possible.
Mm-hmm.
Elcio told investigators that in order to establish contact with the great beyond, the three of them had built a device in Miguel's backyard 2 months before they died.
They fucking built a Stargate. Those fucking dickheads.
Right?
Well done, but they died.
Well,
that's too bad.
Unfortunately, it exploded before they could get any little green men on the line.
Yeah, Stargates are pretty fucking volatile.
Right? Well, whatever your opinion on alien visitations, we at least know that the two technicians themselves were diehard believers. So they were most likely up to something UFO related on that hill.
Awesome.
Some believe they may
have...
I love
people so much. We're so fun.
We're so fucking weird.
Yeah.
That we believe the weirdest shit. Yeah. I mean, I'm not against UFOs. I'm not against aliens, but I mean, it's really...
Have you ever thought about just existence, though? It's fucking insane.
Right, right. I mean, it's reaching in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But especially this story here.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, some believe they may have gone to some pretty extreme lengths for their commitment to this cause. Now, if the events on Vintem Hill that night were an attempt to make contact with little green men, it may not have been the first attempt of this kind.
Mm. They were old pros.
Right. Well,
no, if you touch this wire to that one, it'll explode. Remember that.
Right.
Whatever, Toby. Shut the fuck up, Toby.
In 1967, a Rio journalist claimed to have unearthed another unsolved case, which suggested that these scientific spiritualists preferred elevated spots for their mad pseudoscientific experiments.
It makes sense. You're higher up, and that's,
well, you know,
it's high and stuff.
I'm assuming
they're high. It's high.
I mean, do you have to? So the UFOs are going to come down, and they want you to be closer to them,
yeah.
Then, so they don't have to come down as far.
They traversed billions of miles so that they could not go down like 25 more feet,
right?
Or 200 more feet, or something.
Right, exactly.
Like,
I'm thinking it totally makes sense. It's just too much. We came this far. Meet us, you know, most of the way.
Yeah, meet us halfway, motherfucker. Christ's sake! I just went through the asteroid belt. You fucking dickheads.
So 4 years.
Climb a hill. Sorry.
4 years before Miguel and Manuel, a man named Hermes Luis Feitosa was found on Cruzeiro Hill about 3.5 hours east of Campos.
It's a bunch of hills. Famous hills.
He was also an electric technician, also found with a homemade lead mask by his side.
Okay.
Interesting. Whatever killed Miguel and Manuel likely killed this man too.
Shit.
Now, is it possible that Miguel and Manuel may have known Hermes? It seems like they're probably in that same secret society together, right? I mean,
it's a big cult, though. It sounds like they might not know each other. Plus, they're all fucking each other with masks on. So
oh, God.
It's difficult.
Like Eyes Wide Shut?
Probably. I mean, that's what... Isn't that what you imagine each time?
God.
Come on.
It appeared
that'd
that...
be my club. If I started a club, just fucking with masks on.
Yikes.
No, it wouldn't. I'm
Yikes.
Kidding. Those are jokes.
It appeared that all these TV technician guys were into aliens, and there's thousands of them. However, even if they didn't...
Nice.
Even if they didn't know each other, maybe they were all part of the same club. Okay, so that's what I'm thinking.
This is just like pre-Scientology.
It seems like they were pretty deep into this techno-spiritual stuff, so it's pretty likely they were part of the same group. Gomez alleges that the two dead men maintained a secret radio communication center in their hometown, used to stay in contact with members around the country. Maybe the ritual.
People. They're great. People are great.
It was so weird, right? Maybe the ritual they were doing that night was a common practice among members of the secret club. If so, then it's pretty likely the other dead guy had also ingested the same mysterious capsules. Gomez revealed that psychedelics were seen as a useful tool for establishing contact with extraterrestrials.
Oh, it was fucking DMT. Ayahuasca or something. Pill form.
Something. Well, it was a useful tool as they opened up the mind to a wider range of frequencies. Now, this might sound like a load of science fiction dreamed up by Elcio Gomez to throw off the investigators.
Sounds
but,
like Philip K. Dick.
But detectives had already found evidence in Miguel's home workshop, which backed up his statements. There, they discovered a pair of metal snips and some scrap lead, which matched the thickness of the masks.
Damn.
On one of the shelves was a book on scientific spiritualism, and some highlighted areas of the book warned that any alien spirit summoned would give off an intense luminosity that could blind humans.
Shit.
And a potential solution to this was homemade lead masks to shield the eyes from the lights given off by interdimensional beings.
God, that'd be great if that was true.
Right?
If all this was true. It's like, fuck, you can just go hang out with them, but don't let them fucking brighten your eyes. You gotta wear these lead sunglasses, bitch.
Well, how do they wear them? There was no strap. It was just a flat, it was just weird to me. It was like this weird, I don't know if it was curved or not, but there was no, they must have held it up to their face.
Yeah, they had to hold it. How inconvenient and rude. No strap on.
As for the strange lights on the hill, Elcio might have offered up a half-decent explanation. If they were caused by some experiment, it wouldn't have been the first time that Miguel and Manuel convinced bystanders that they were witnessing visitors from the stars.
Huh.
An article on the case written by Charles Bowen in 1967 delved deeper into Gomez's claims, which included another explosive incident in the summer before his friends met their end. On June 13th, 1966, Manuel invited him to witness their latest experiment. He and other members of their community gathered on Atafona Beach out to the east of Campos. Miguel and Manuel set up their homemade instruments on the sands, and shortly after turning it on, Gomez reported witnessing an intense luminous object descending over the ocean nearby.
The Goo Owl! Sorry, Stargate. Still done with Stargate.
The strange craft then shot upwards into the air before exploding above the sea.
Fuck. That's a shitty craft.
Right? Where did it come from?
Where did it go?
Where did it come from? Where did it go?
Where did it come from? UFI Joe.
The blast could reportedly be felt almost 10 miles away. I mean, that's huge.
Said some guy in his rocking chair. Yeah, I felt it.
Right.
Well, I felt it. What time was it? Yeah, I felt it.
If that actually happened, that would be pretty intense, I guess. Some reports claim that the Brazilian Navy and Air Force began to take interest in the experiments of Manuel and Miguel soon after.
Whatever, but half of them are praying that secret society,
right,
too. It's all a big club and nobody that I know's in it. Damn it, we suck.
But
we need to start our own club that knows stuff about aliens and shit.
But that doesn't prove they were legit.
Okay, fine.
If you started building highly explosive devices in your garden and shooting them into the sky, I guarantee a few government agencies would take a keen interest in your hobbies, too. So it only takes a quick search of Brazilian UFO reports to reveal that this wasn't an isolated incident. In 1957, a man supposedly collected fragments of pure magnesium from a UFO which exploded over Ubatuba Beach and sent them to a journalist.
He actually grabbed an ashtray at a dude.
Right? Well, again, these claims were never verified, but it's possible the scientific spiritualists were up to this kind of stuff all around the country at the time.
Sounds like a big old... They're the Illuminati. Well done.
Well, maybe their attempts at contacting aliens is what actually caused all these sightings in the first place. Huh?
Stargate Illuminati? Yeah.
Maybe. Well, as far as this case goes, there's no spaceship on the hill. It's just two guys up on the hill at this point, taking drugs and setting off bombs.
Probably jerking each other off.
Right. Well, not to mention that these guys have a reputation for setting off bombs. So
and jerking each other off.
That is the likely scenario of this event. Although I never uncovered any evidence of them jerking each other off.
Mm.
I really haven't.
Yeah, that's fine.
But explosives,
it's
you
likely,
know.
Though.
Well, if you want a darker take on their intentions that night, then it's possible that they never intended to leave Vinton Hill at all. At least, not in their physical forms. Some believe that the two men had planned to commit ritual suicide.
Eey.
Given their New Age beliefs, it's not such a stretch to add that they had planned to move on to a higher state of being, shedding their physical forms by ingesting deadly chemicals.
We always have somewhere else to go. That's what right? life is in the present. It's like, I always got to be somewhere. I always got to do something
I don't want to be here, right?
Yeah, very strange.
Well, at the end of the day, it appears that the deaths on Vinton Hill were either an accidental or intentional overdose as part of a New Age ritual. That's what it appears to be at this point.
Maybe they caught the comet, man. Maybe they jumped on that fucker with their souls. Their sauce of souls made it onto the comet. They're good.
Potentially. Definitely one of the stranger conclusions we've come to on the show, but nothing compared to the other possibilities.
Mm.
However, this case still hasn't gotten crazy yet.
No, really?
Just when the skeptics of Brazil thought that they had the Vinton Hill case all figured out, the authorities threw them a curveball.
Some weirdo.
They had found a murder suspect in 1969. A further issue of Flying Saucer Review published a follow-up case written by Gordon Crichton. He outlines a new official version of events. Now, according to the newspaper Korea de Provo, in an article written February
in
the 22nd, right? February 22nd, 1969, okay, the police managed to secure a confession from one of the people responsible for the killings. Now, no doubt their explanation was pretty disappointing for most Flying Saucer Review readers of this magazine, right?
Yeah.
Because the police hadn't snagged some murderous alien.
Dope.
During a routine traffic stop, the killer of Miguel and Manuel was very much human. A notorious smuggler named Hamilton Bazzini. Earlier that year, Bazzini revealed to one of his relatives that he was partly to blame for the two men's deaths. The police went to interview him at a San Paulo prison where he was already serving a 50-year sentence for the aforementioned smuggling business.
I don't want to sound rude, but all of this sounds like Star Wars to me.
Does it?
It's got like secret societies, like there's Jedi and fucking ghosts and shit.
Weird shit.
Spirit ghosts, and now Han Solo is a part of this shit.
Well, really?
He's a smuggler.
Oh.
Notorious smuggler.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the Millennium Falcon to land. Well, Yoda, fucking, let's do some cocaine. Ooh, yes.
Okay. Well, with nothing left to lose at this point, Bazzini told them the story in its entirety, and this is how it goes.
Mm.
While on the run from the law, he was staying at a safe house in Rio. There, he was contacted by three associates known by the aliases Esfahol, Acacio, and Wilson Almio. They offered him a hit job in Kitteroy, which would pay well enough to support them for a few months of hiding, and he accepted. The gang then rode to the town by taxi, switching to a stolen car, and then went on to a spiritualist center in the suburbs. This is where they would find their targets by attending
spiritualist hitmen.
Right? Spiritualist hitmen.
Fucking, they are Jedi.
Well, they found their targets by attending a seance led by Helena,
what?
The manager of the center.
What is going on, Brazil?
Right?
What are you guys up to over there, bros?
By the way, this New Age matriarch was actually the one who hired the gang in the first place.
Hmm.
So she was the seance leader, spiritual manager, and she hired hitmen.
Head con artist, all right.
So among those present at the event were Manuel and Miguel. Bazzani's accomplices nodded as they walked through the door, the signal that they had found their targets.
Bruh.
While waiting for Helena to set up the session, the criminals chatted with their marks to gather more information. They discovered that the two men had a lot of cash on hand, suggesting that this was the target of the gang, as they had been tipped off by their group insider of this fact. The men would have a lot of cash on them. So they would intercept the men and snag the money. The article then quoted Wilson Alamu as saying, quote, "See, the spirit of fortune has descended, but it will shortly incarnate in their bodies."
Well,
end
that
quote.
Sounds fucking great.
So,
all matter of fact.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So the gang took part in the seance, then offered their targets a ride, which they accepted. Bazzani watched as his companions and Helena forced Manuel and Miguel out of the car and marched them up the hill.
And that's when Wolfman showed up. Fine fuckingly, goddamn.
Well, they returned a half an hour later carrying the money without the two technicians. As they got back in the car, Wilson Alamal said, "We've killed them both. We forced them at gunpoint to ingest the poison."
Sheesh.
The reports close by revealing the spiritualist center leader, Helena, was already in police custody and the rest of the gang would soon follow. Finally, justice would be served in one of the country's strangest criminal cases ever. And then, well, nothing. There was nothing. There's no follow-up reports on what happened to this group. No follow-up on the trial of the woman who sold out her spiritualist disciples. Just pure radio silence for decades. So what happened? Were the gang ever caught? Or more importantly, did they ever exist in the first place? Journalist Gordon Crichton speculates that maybe none of these events ever happened at all. Right?
Is this Mandela effect?
It may never have happened at all. It might have been a tall tale told by some condemned man, maybe in return for favors in prison.
Son of a bitch. That happens all the time, I bet.
Yeah. Well, this scenario seems quite reasonable, as the case seems to just fizzle out into nothingness from here. So this news report is basically the end of the trail for this case. All that's left is to sift through the evidence we have and choose whichever is the least crazy scenario.
Wolfman, alien, fucking secret society.
Right. Well, personally, I'm
going with that.
I believe the guy in prison. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what he actually did to get a 50-year sentence, but it must have been some hardy smuggling.
Killing guys.
Sure, there's always the false confession thing, but this story just sounds mundane enough to be true.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense to me.
What do you think?
It's probably not the alien wolfman thing that I was thinking.
Aliens or drug dealers? I'm
fascinated by the secret society of electrical nerds that want to meet aliens. That's fucking...
Isn't that funny?
That's great. That opens up your brain to all sorts of possibilities.
Well, I want to thank our listener for this suggestion. I had never heard this story before. I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, me either.
It took me on a little journey, and it was fun.
And you took us on a journey.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
For sure.
I loved it. So that's the end. Let's talk about the other stuff that we learned about it or something.
Perfect.
Things.
On the other side of the thing?
Of the thing. Fuck.
Nice.
Now it's time for our dipshits to bloviate at the end of the show.
Right, well, thanks for presenting us a story that I'm sure most of us have never heard. I certainly have not. I don't think I know anybody that's heard of that story.
I had never heard of it. I had no idea what this was.
And you were right. It had a little bit of everything.
It was.
It was all over the place. And it sounded like Star Wars to me. Even the names, it's like beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous names. You're like...
Mm. Well, one thing I did have a hard time with was...
I live next to Athol, Idaho. So calm down. Calm down. Brazil has a little bit more elegant, kind of Star Warsy. Athol, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it Athol.
Athol.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do. It's a real place.
Yeah.
Athol, Idaho.
Yeah, I've played music there a bunch of times. Got a great pizza joint there.
Yep.
Fucking A. It's right next to Silverwood Theme Park.
Very nice.
So, you said it took you on a ride.
Mm-hmm.
In the research.
It did. Yeah. It was weird.
Did you have to leave anything out, or were there any other theories?
You know, there was so many. There were so many, but they all followed the same line, you know?
Aliens.
Aliens. And there was... A lot of the stuff that I had pulled and saved was just different UFO sightings. UFO sightings had been occurring for quite some time prior, and they continued for quite some time after. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they're still happening. And it's very difficult to decipher what is credulity and what is actually something weird.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we're people, so right. even some of the most qualified people can be pretty credulous and
right.
can experience delusions and right. hallucinations.
Well, and I'm not sure.
Trauma-based shit. Sorry.
When one person has an experience that they can't explain, and it might be something very mundane, very explainable, but because of the way they processed it in their thought processes, maybe fear or whatever, it comes out as being this very strange experience. So when they report it, it's this weird phenomena, mm-hmm. right? The thing that gets me is every single time someone else says, yeah, I saw the same thing. Now, how true is that?
Right. I don't know.
Or are they just wanting attention? Do they just want to be part of the conversation?
There's lots of motivations why people join in
right.
on that kind of thing.
So that's hard to speculate. That's a lot of the shit that I left out.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
I may have missed it because me being a jackass, I was doing jackass things.
Were you doing jackass things?
I was thinking about saying jackass stuff.
Oh.
Which, you know, this was a lot of jackassery.
Right.
What is going on with the mask? Did anybody explain the mask
yes,
very well?
Yes, it was in the science book. It was in that scientific spiritualist book.
It protects your eyes
from alien shininess.
So that's they were there for sure.
They were there
doing that stuff.
So
or maybe they were they were part of some weird smuggling deal
mm-hmm.
that had nothing to do
I
with
think it
their
was
group.
A combination of all the things. No, I think
and they were like, we're gonna die anyway. I'm wearing my cool glasses, bro.
I don't think so.
Okay,
and I don't know, but in my opinion, I think they did go down there to pick up some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did go get parts. That's why it was those part numbers were listed in that book.
Mm.
But I also think that Helena, for some reason, I don't know what her part was in this, but she had created a hit basically
mm-hmm.
On Miguel and Manuel for some reason.
She's like a Star Wars fucking like
she's
super
a bad
boss.
Guy. She's a bad
Job
guy.
Job of the Hutt,
right?
Yeah.
So they were part of this spiritualist society.
He's a whole honker.
And they wanted to go down to. I think they went down to. Go to a seance, and they took their masks with them while they went to mm-hmm. go get these.
Because you can't fuck anybody
TV
if
parts.
You don't have your mask on. You gotta have your mask on. What you're looking
what
at me?
What is wrong with you?
A lot of things. I've been soiled by the culture I was brought up in.
Oh boy. Anyways.
And listen to the noises that come out of my mouth. This is the culture's noises that they taught me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can do.
Yeah. The weird thing is, I understand the noises because there's continuity in the noises that I make.
That sounds like a bunch of hibbity to me. You get my jibbums. Get some schmiggle on you.
Oh, well, I'm not going to finish my statement since you're really not listening. You're off in your own world. Anyways.
Wife. How dare we? I don't feel that's the same. Okay, so that was bullshit, and I'm a bullshit, too. Well, thank you for doing all that research and
you're
for
welcome.
Giving us this story. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You to the listener. Do we know their name? Or are we allowed to say?
I'm not sure if we're allowed to say.
Well, can you give them their first name and the last?
Gabe.
Gabe. Thank you, Gabe.
Yes.
Very much for sending us information about this or sending us down the
pipe.
Yeah,
this suggestion. We received several suggestions from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one that I pulled out and said, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Let's look into it and find out what we got going on. And it didn't disappoint.
No, it didn't.
So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Thank mm-hmm. you to our Trusted Turd Triad and our Trusted Turd Herders.
Mm-hmm.
Also to the Meme Army and our subreddit regulators.
Mm-hmm.
To all you folks that are doing cards, 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 and the toys, toys, toys. All that shit.
Yes.
You can get us, what's our email here?
dipshitfilespod@gmail.com.
You can send us all sorts of stuff there mm-hmm. as far as correspondence.
Yeah.
But as always, we'll talk at you in the future.
And it'll seem like the present.
See you in the bonus.
Dipshit files. Bing.
Bong.
Poo.